Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of I'm Not Gonna Hold You. As usual, I am your host, Scott Lewis, and it is Friday, September 26, 2025. Man, we've got a good show for y'all on deck. You want to follow me on all social media platforms at Barber's Chair Scott. Follow the Barber's Chair at Barber's Chair Co. on all social media platforms, as well as follow our partners, HB Media, HB Media TV on Twitter, and at HB Media on Instagram, man. And while you're at it, follow the social handles of the show. I'm Not Gonna Hold You at INGHY Show on both Twitter and IG. Get in tune with team, man. Everything we've got going on. Shout out to everybody who has followed us from the Patreon stream. If you watched the local hour, which is up right now on the Patreon. If you missed it, you can go up there right now and go check it out. Me, Bang, and Dante. The full breakdown on Bears, Raiders, everything going on in the city with the sports. So check that out right now. And if you want to check out, you can subscribe to the Patreon, man. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. If you are watching this on a smart TV or any TV, or you know what I'm saying, yeah, whatever that you, it's not on your phone, you can click, you can take your phone up to the screen, scan the QR code, it'll take you to all of the different tiers. We have got $5 I'm Not Gonna Hold You tier. You can just watch this for $5, or you can subscribe to the $10 Barber's Chair access feed, and you get everything that is available to the Patreon. I mean, we got a whole bunch of subscribers the last couple of days, and Summer Sessions will be back next Wednesday. So we're recording on Tuesdays, but it'll drop on Wednesdays, and it'll be dropping bi-weekly. So look out for that. I mean, y'all been wondering what's been going on with the pod. So, and also while you're at it, if you're not watching us on my YouTube channel, you need to be subscribed to my YouTube channel. Same deal. Link is in the description box, or you can scan the QR code and it'll take you right to it, man. We got a nice list of stuff to go over today. So I'm going to bring in my crew, man, that I've got with me. Today we got a packed house on Dante in the house. Of course, you can follow Dante and that October Zone Tay on all social media platforms. Y'all might want to tap MM because the High and Outside crew is definitely going to have y'all right. It's the last weekend of this very long Major League Baseball season. So I'm sure they've got like some playoff stuff on deck for y'all. So tune in with that. We've got JR Bang in the house. You can follow Bang at JR Bang on all social media platforms. We got Courtney in the house. You can follow her at 1-800-CALL-BRO. And of course, we got the homie Tosin in the house. One third of the shirtless plantain crew. You can check out a new episode of Toast Talks right now. He's got a little minute video up on YouTube right now. How's everybody doing? I'm gonna start ladies first. Courtney, how you feeling?
You gotta pay a fine.
Okay. Well, remember, we starting the actual fine this year where we got a somebody got to send the cash out.
Whoa, that's a fine.
Hey, so like I was saying, that beer is going to hit my hand like Mjolnir, especially if that siren keeps going off when I don't unmute my mic. I'm just ready for the weekend, man.
Bang and Dante, I already know how y'all feel because we did local hour. All three of us are going to try to have more energy. All three of us are tired. Bang didn't even sing the local hour jam. So that's how you know how tired
we
were.
Wow, Bang didn't sing
the The reason why I was kind of subdued because I had all of the kids and everybody downstairs.
Okay. You want to hear them?
We good.
We back. Okay, yeah, we back. Toast, man, how you feeling, bro? I have one question for you. You know, we had to start this off with this. Did you think 3 weeks into the season that we'll be doing the Spider-Man meme with the Bears and the Ravens as far as records? So how you feeling, my brother? Oh, you muted too. I got you, Gordon. Just trying to find a button.
See, I was over here talking shit to Courtney. We started 1-2 last year, so you know, it don't bother me none. We'll talk about it later, but I'm good. Otherwise, I gotta be up at 7 tomorrow because May Nighter plays first thing in the morning.
I was gonna say on a Saturday. Brother,
I mean that's normal. Soccer, we're sick.
I go to bed at 10:30 on Friday nights now because I need to be up for soccer for a full day the next day. I've been brought into the sick world, and so I'm definitely gonna. I got my whole slate set up for tomorrow. We're gonna weave from soccer to college football, and we're gonna go back. We got the whole schedule lined out for tomorrow. So. That's how we're going to be. And I don't have to go cover a Bears game this weekend. I will not be in Vegas this weekend because it's cheaper to get to London than it is to Vegas right now because of these flights. So I'll be watching as a fan this week. So that should be interesting to see how that's going to go. Marley Cox, toast to the most unbothered N-word I've ever seen in my life.
You know what I was doing last week? I was working with professional soccer players last week. That was my job. Why do I care what May Nighter does? They're rich. I'm not. So fuck them. If they want to lose, they lose. Brent still do on Monday. So
this is the way.
So I'm not in Bruno Fernandez ruin my weekend.
Absolutely not.
What else we got here in the chat room, man? We got Orlando in the chat room. We said PCA. Third season that Caleb on 3 TDs on Sunday. Praise Allah. Well, the Cubs will be out by this time next week, so enjoy the next 7 days.
Have we heard anything about Cade Orton? They're saying it's not good so far. That's what Jesse Rogers was saying. He doesn't have anything good to report, but hasn't made anything official yet.
Didn't he say that he was like, it looked like there was some issues, but he's still available to play or some shit like that.
He is having back spasms, so he got pulled in that game the other day, and they're saying that the signs weren't encouraging. Listen, back spasms, because Clayton Kershaw's been dealing with that for a few years. I know he's older, but like that shit had him sidelined for a while. So
back spasms, look, if somebody who gets back spasms
isn't available for the Cubs, it's Jover.
I gained a whole new respect. Added respect for athletes who play on back spasms when I started getting back spasms. And I can barely walk. I can barely walk for 5 minutes when I have back spasms. and it hit me when I was in the middle of being on the treadmill. And it felt like my back just locked up, bro. And I was like, I fought through them 30 minutes, bro. And then, like, I'm like, there's some people who play games in this. Say what you want about Scottie Pippen. He may be a cuck. Yes, I will find myself for that thing. But what he is not is soft for playing with back spasms in game six of the 1998 finals. I would give him that above anything. Yeah. By the way, Tosin, I don't know if you saw Real Madrid post that Scottie Pippen was the burn about today.
They posted what?
And he was at the burn about today, visiting Real Madrid. They had this motherfucker, a jersey and everything.
When you rich, you do whatever you want, I guess, man. Doing exactly. Random side missions.
Orlando says, according to reports, Cade is good to go at this BP session. Gustavo says, bring the weekly parlays back if you miss it. Mike used to help us with it. Well, I don't know if you know about Mike, but he
send me parlays, okay?
If he does send them, they send off parlays because Bane didn't win his 2 weeks
ago. And then he'll send them to me 5 minutes before the game starts. My brother in Christ, I thought we had something special.
Jay Hood. Shout out to Jay Hood and the chat. Jay, you're in Vegas, brother. Enjoy us. Enjoy Vegas. You ain't even got to watch us. I would be under a table right now if I was in Vegas somewhere. Despite the fact that it's 2 o'clock out there, I don't give a shit. That's why I am not in Vegas right now. But, yes, it is a $5 fine for me. 3 people have been fined already.
I would love
Courtney's been fine. Tosin's been fine. And I've been fine so far into this. Right now. Yeah, I would too. But anyway, let's start the show.
Poker. Oh man, restore the feeling in a Mike Ditka sweater. Hell yeah,
in a Ditka sweater. No, I'm not wearing a Ditka sweater. I'm one of those Bears. I'm one of those Bears fans who wants to get rid of that time. Keep them dudes in the past. Okay,
let's move forward.
Yo, how many times are the Bears gonna roll out the Super Bowl team from the 80s?
Until they're all dead. That is the answer.
A certain unnamed Chicago Bears 85 defensive tackle once told me in the elevator, I can't wait till these mother effers win again so they can stop rolling my old ass out. That's what he told me word for word in the elevator of the season opener 2 years ago. Remember the comeback game against the Niners, man? The one you was at was pouring rain outside? Yes. Yeah, so I'm not gonna put that legend's name out there who said it. But he was a starting defensive tackle on the 85 Bears. And he told me this in the elevator word for word. And I laughed my ass off. And I didn't want to tell him I agree because I didn't want to think I called him old. And even though he is old, he looked like he could probably still put me in the headlock. So I didn't say that. But let's move on to our first topic. I think I spent too much time on this. But after watching last night's Thursday night football game, I got to ask the question. Is Marvin Harrison Jr. Huff? And he had a good ending to the game. But if I was Kyler Murray, I would be upset. Y'all got Twitter slandering me because I got 2 picks because of your ass. And out of the 2 years that he has been on this team, it ain't really been all it's cracked up to be in these first 2 seasons. Now, we're going to give him a pass. I don't know what they're doing in Arizona. Y'all know how I feel about Man or Tosin, what did you call Kyler Murray?
He's a little. He's a laboo-boo.
Well, when I saw that tweet, I was dying laughing, bro. That's exactly who he is, bro. He run like that bad toddler. Like, remember, I don't know, he run like them kids on Abbott Elementary. Like, when they running from
He runs
Janine.
Like my 4-year-old son.
Yeah.
He runs like Liam.
That's what Kyler Murray runs like, man. But so I feel like they don't know what they're doing over there.
Let me be quiet. We ain't even gonna stop Gary. Go look at that boy record. How them boys was going into the late night, early 90s. He's not overrated. But let's go.
Yeah, he's not overrated. He's definitely not overrated. I just want that time to go past. The 80s was the best time.
Scott gotta pay a fine.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
He gotta pay some.
Mm.
Yeah, pay his internet bill. What's going on?
Jerry Reinsdorf took his internet off.
I want to say, for the record, I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is Huff. I think there are a variety of factors that maybe are exacerbating the lack of confidence that he clearly has. That's why Bro was about to cry when he scored a touchdown last night.
I mean, I was gonna say, I think the big thing is Javon Bullitt fucked his life up when in college when he hit him, Georgia and Ohio State. Yep. He was never the same player after that. Once he got hit, he's like, I want none of this ever in my life. I'm good. So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't really have any confidence. Like, that touchdown last night probably was just like a huge sigh of relief for him to remember that, oh, hey, I can still do this at a high level. But, yeah, the circumstances aren't great. Jonathan Gannon, their head coach, is talking about how, defenses are scheming him out. Well, brother, that's your job to figure out how to scheme him open. Is it not?
I don't know what happened.
I was going to say if we could put Scott next to the frozen Scott next to the new Scott because it's just hilarious. Look at
Scott, you gotta pay your internet bill, my good brother.
Hey, my internet bill is working. My internet working. That's why I got the TV, I got the YouTube on the background. That shit ain't stopped. So I don't know. I think that's a StreamYard problem. So I don't know. Either way, I'm back. Let's move on to the Ravens because I didn't get caught off.
This is all Tosin.
Yeah, we gotta bring Tosin to. So Tosin, you guys are 1-2 now. For our team, it's not shocking for the Bears to be 1-2 3 weeks in. This is pretty much what we've just been born into. My Wi-Fi is not bad. Pay too much money for this Wi-Fi to be bad. It's not bad. It's very fast. But I don't know. I think it's StreamYard, not the Wi-Fi. Because usually my Wi-Fi fucks up, the YouTube stops right away. But I said the YouTube like I'm 80. Anyway, moving on to Tulsa. we talk about the Ravens, man. First off, how do you guys feel about Roquan Smith right now? I think vindication is something that I really like because I've been saying, not to say I'd say he's washed, but I definitely didn't feel like I wanted to pay him the amount of money that he wanted to be paid. But just give me your overall thoughts on how you feel about the Ravens 3 weeks in as we get ready for this upcoming game, you guys.
Playing as the Chiefs. First of all, I'm not going to say my personal opinions on Roquan Smith. I'm not going to say what I want to say about Roquan because I'm not offending any of my political connects. But people do call him Rozempic, so that's what people call him.
They call him a lot worse in Chicago, but we're going to leave
there. I'm sure they did. But overall, I don't know. I feel like the one thing I realize about the Ravens, and it's weird that we've become the quote-unquote culture team where growing up, nobody was a Ravens fan unless you're from Baltimore, unless you just randomly decided to pick the Ravens. Like, no one was a fan. But I think now with Lamar, we've become the de facto culture team where all the kids bandwagon the team and they coming out of nowhere and just talk about how the Ravens are run them. It's like, I've seen people say fire EDC. I'm like, yo, do you know how many bad coordinate GMs are in the league? There's more bad GMs than good GMs. We have one of the best ones. Okay. So relax with that. But I don't know. I just feel like the season just started off.
We got one of the worst ones.
You feel me? Like, you understand that. So I don't know. I feel like fans just aren't realistic. I feel like they want every team to go 17-0. If that's what you want, go hit your PlayStation and start a Madden franchise because it's not going to happen in the NFL. Everyone is good. Every single, like, these are grown-ass men, okay, that are will knock your head off your shoulders if they had the chance to. So I feel fans need to just temper the expectations. Like, obviously, the Ravens are going to be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but it's just getting everything right. If everything is not right by the time the bye week comes, then heads have to roll. So I feel give it a couple more weeks, and then I will properly, like, assess where I'm at. But right now, I'm calm. I'm just like, yo, whatever happens, happens in the next whatever. We played against the Bills and the Lions, two teams who are Super Bowl contenders, and then we also have the Chiefs, another one on Sunday. So it's a hard schedule to start off. Obviously, no one's really played preseason games. Offensive line still getting their feet together. Doesn't help that Nnamdi Matabike's out, which is arguably one of the best defensive tackles in the league. So we're thin in certain spots in the trenches, which is the most important part in NFL. But they'll figure it out. They're all smart enough. They're all talented enough. And if they don't, someone's going to lose their job. So I'm calm about it. Either someone's going to get fired or we're going to win games. It's either that.
I think,
real quick, who do you think is going to get fired?
Zach Gore.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Oh, the dude that you was like his next head coach?
Correct.
Yeah. I thought Zach was going to be good this year. And I hate to see black men lose their job, man, especially in this economy. But yeah, my good brother Zach, I don't know, man. It's not looking good for you. Like, I'm watching our defense. I'm like, why is Mike Green in coverage? Like, that's not his job, is not to be in coverage. So it's little things. And Deontay Lee wrote something on the Ringer today, which is really good about the Ravens defense. There's a lot of scheme issues, but listen, if Zach wants to keep his job, it's his job to lose. That's really all I got to say about that. If nobody else wants to keep their job, that's your problem. If you want to be good or not, that's all up to you. So roll the cheese on Sunday. And Scott did not pay his internet bill again. Jesus Christ.
Can't hear Bang. You, babe. That's not a fine.
Oh, there ain't no fine. There's not no fine. He ain't here. He ain't no here. Fine. I got kids. I got a 6-year-old who walking around with drawers on. I'm trying to make sure he ain't exposed so then the feed go off. Nah. I picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl, and I'm going to stand by that pick.
Same.
I think that just like last year, start off a little bit slow. I think that we will see them roll into form. I think this game coming up against the Chiefs is really perfect for them. I think it's even more perfect for the reason of you have two teams that are not used to being in this situation. So you're going to see who's the more desperate team. And if I were to pick a team to be more desperate, it is the Baltimore Ravens. So I would not be shocked, especially even though, you know, Xavier Worthy, he's supposed to be coming back this game, reportedly, allegedly, from what I just saw on the screen. I would not be shocked if this defensively, it is a get-right game for the Baltimore Ravens, especially when you look at they built this team to stop Patrick Mahomes in this type of situation. So I'm not too worried. They're still going through that little small preseason.
I still want to see if we might get Christian Wilkins. I know that man is first team all Freaky Frog, but we need a defensive tackle really, really bad. So,
oh, nobody picked him up?
Nah, nobody's picked him up. He had an injury, and then on top of that, he has real, like, allegations on top of that. Like,
he got real life allegations.
He's a first team, like, real Freaky Frog. Because we've seen what he did at Clemson. I'm just like, yo, you're a wild boy, but. Hey, listen, if he's still right, I'll say pick him up personally, because I don't know. Like, Nandi has a neck issue, and neck issues in the NFL, not something you play with, not in the slightest. So, yep. Courtney, how do you feel about it or what you've seen with the Ravens?
I've kind of been disappointed. Obviously, from a fantasy perspective, that negative 4 points really killed my opportunity of winning. But no, I've just been a little disappointed. Again, like you said, I feel like I've been seeing a lot of guys kind of playing out of position. What game was that? Actually, I think it was against the Lions, where Kyle Hamilton had to like drop down, and there was this whole big part of the field that Malachi Starks had to cover. And you could just see like very clearly guys were playing out of position. And even if Malachi Starks, being as fast as he is, he's not getting down there to cover LaPorta. So it was just like, and that happened more than once, mind you. So I'm just like, again, I don't know the ins and outs of the Ravens defensive schemes by any means. I'll never pretend to be an expert on that sort of thing. But when you go back and you watch like games and you're trying to figure out why is this unit who's like, yes, I know some of these guys are kind of getting up there and they're getting older, but what is the problem with this team? Because just like Bang, I had them as one of my preseason Super Bowl picks, and I still stand on that. But like, what's the problem? What can this, because they're not a bad defensive unit. Yeah, some of the guys are getting older, but like, it's not a bad defense. So what's the problem? And it's kind of feeling like the scheming is the problem.
Yeah, Scott. And
didn't it feel like, before we saying if John Harbaugh got fired, the defensive coordinator was the guy you wanted to replace him?
Nah, that ain't gonna happen. I do wonder though, like if John Lee's is here, who do the Ravens hire? Like that's what I've been trying to rack my brain trying to figure out, because I could not call it anymore.
Well, what do you think about Derrick Henry's fumbles? Like, I kind of feel like that's been hand in hand with also the defense collapsing. It's like he fumbles at the absolute worst time possible.
I mean, everything that can go wrong can go. It's like Murphy's Law, right? That's literally what it is. And someone was saying it might be the sleeves that he's wearing, like the two compression sleeves. I was like, I don't know, man. He's been wearing them most of his career. So I don't know. Like, it's just whatever can go wrong is going wrong. All the worst things. But the good thing is Lamar hasn't thrown an interception yet. So there's that.
We're going to preview this game in the actual pick predictions part, but this game is very interesting because you got two teams that have been so good these last couple of years. Obviously, the Chiefs have been winning championships, and they're both looking at 1-3 in the face. And there's only been one team to still win the Super Bowl after going 1-3, and that is the 2001 Patriots. I'm dealing with a lot with over here right now. First of all, I'm gonna keep telling y'all, it's not my fucking internet. I just did a fucking speed test. It is this fucking StreamYard is fucking up. For whatever reason today, my internet is fine. And then my damn dog, which I had to leave, wouldn't shut the fuck up for like five. I'm sorry, another fine for me. But that's just how today's going. For 5 minutes, had to literally grab him and bring him outside. So hopefully we can get back on track. And then the training.
It's not about how we start. It's not how we finish. We just
got
to recover.
Yeah, that's why you got my train, my camera looking like it's an earthquake outside. Anyway, man, the unfortunate thing that happened out of this game for the Bears side is the Lions are still here. I thought that they had fell off. I thought that, you know, oh, yeah, this is where comeback reality comes. No, they played a great game. Sacked Ravens 7 times, got Lamar 7 times. Jared Goff still looks good. Amon-Ra St. Brown looked good. Demo looked great, even to the point you had Bears fans wondering, we gave up Demo too early. Stop it. And but there was one break that he had. I think every Bears fan in the world knew he was going to get caught before the touchdown. Demo was good. He was good time with the Bears. It was just time to move on. And everything was clicking. I even saw a joke. Somebody said, oh, they must have Xeroxed Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn's play calls before they actually left the building. But the Lions look good. They're now 2-1 with the Packers after the Packers had their embarrassing loss to the Browns on Sunday. Bang, I know your favorite phrase is, nobody cares about the Detroit Lions. Are the Lions back at it right now to where they're at and they kind of got getting back on track?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to – I mean, they're going to dip. Like, they're not going to have the seasons like they had these last 2 years, but I do still believe that they – I mean, now with the trade with Micah Parsons coming to the Packers, they're still the class or tied with being the class of the NFC North. You know, I just don't think they're going to win like 14, 15 games. I think they're going to win like 11 or 12. But I disagree with you with the Demo thing. It was not time for him to go. We could still be using him right now. He should be thought of in the same way as Matt Forte and Neil Anderson.
Man, hell no. We put way too much on Demo. No, Demo is good. He is a two-man back. As a fullback, no, man. There's a lot of things to get mad at Ryan Poles. That ain't one of them.
Because he's consistently doing it right now. He's one of the main cogs of the reason why that offense is going. You need a running back like that on your team. And we can't say nothing like that when we sitting up here trying to hope that Kyle Manangai can be decent going up against the Raiders.
But Debo been gone for like 2 years, though, before Kyle Manangai was
Scott,
I don't agree with that one.
That's the point. You don't have to agree with it. All right? You don't have to agree with it. I disagree with you as well. The Bears could use him right now. And right now, the Detroit Lions and what they have going on with him and Jamar Gibbs is the reason why I said what I said in the local hour about the Bears and what they need to do. That running game is still elite with both of them back there. With them being both elite back there, you still got Armand, the right St. Brown that's over there, Jameson Williams that's taking over the top. You still got Laporta that's over there as well, and Jared Goff is still Jared Goff. You lost the offensive coordinator, that's cool. They're a little bit different, that's cool. But this team is still that team. And if anything, this puts more of an emphasis on why Dan Campbell is a leader of men style of coach, because he's letting his coaches coach. You even hear them talk about it on their podcast and how the differences of both of their coaches' styles, but they still get it done. Those players are not going to let that team fall off, or at least right now. And they're still a class of the NFC North.
All right, we're going to start our week 4 preview now. I mean, we're going to run through these games, give a little insight on how we think this is going to roll out. Last night, obviously, the Seahawks won. I know there was a lot of conversation about, oh, man, Sam. I will say that Sam Darnold does look like he's fixed, even without Kevin O'Connell. I will say that he does look like coming from where he was at, where he said he was seeing ghosts and things like that. Even though I don't think he's, you know, anything to run home with, I definitely think he's a solid quarterback now. And if you want to get fixed, I really feel that Kevin O'Connell needs to start making like Everest commercials for fixing quarterbacks, because we've seen it too much now. Like, this is something that really, really Carson Wentz has been looking good with him under there. Like, yeah, J.J. McCarthy looked good for a half. It's not of a, let's say, a Sean McVay. If there's anybody, everybody always brings up Baker going to Tampa. I think we forget the little hot month he spent in Los Angeles. To me, that's where the spark turned on for Baker, and it really moved on. So you really kind of see the work that Sean McVay put him in there. I think it's kind of the same thing with Kevin O'Connell. Big throws yesterday from Sam Darnold, and you also saw JSN really ball out. You really saw just how bad of an offensive coordinator Shane Waldron is. Shane Waldron made people think that JSN wasn't good, or Rome wasn't good at all. Now he's going to be doing the same thing to my mans out there in Jacksonville. So let's just run through these games. We're going to give our picks, a little bit of insight on the game as well. Hopefully StreamYard doesn't tap out on me again. That would be really annoying the hell out of me and make this Friday even more irritating. But we're going to roll through this, man. We got Vikings and Steelers for the first game we got on here. The Steelers had a nice win last week, backing up from that terrible loss they had at the crib. Vikings still, this is going to be interesting. Still no J.J. McCarthy. He will be out again. Of course, we know he's out for, I think, just like the next month or something like that. So we'll be Carson Wentz going up against them again. Since this one is in Pittsburgh, I think they got a better chance.
Huh? Isn't it in Dublin?
Oh, it is. That's right. It's in fucking Ireland.
It's technically a home game for the Steelers.
Yeah, home. Whoever bought the most tickets will be the home game. But in Dublin, one of the 10 international games that the NFL has this year, I'm going to go Vikings. I think that the Steelers have shown that they can be a good team, but they still do have a little trick off on them. And I just think they're, and it's going to sound black because I do like Mike Tomlin, I think they're a better coach team right now, the Vikings, than the Steelers are. So I'm going to go with the Vikings in this one. We're going to go Courtney Tolson, Dante Bang in order.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Steelers defense. They have not really shown me capable of really doing much of anything, but I don't think it's going to be a very high scoring game. I'm going to go 2017 Vikings.
So y'all know I hate the Steelers professionally, personally, and all of that. So I'm not going to have any. So the Vikings going to whoop their ass or win, whichever one, but Vikings going to win.
My bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead, man. You already talked about it. It's cool.
Yeah, I got the Steelers in this game. I think that everything that happened last week is because of who they was going up against. I got the Steelers in this game, though.
No, I got Minnesota. I think Kevin O'Connell, I think he's a top, I would say top three to top five coach in the league right now. And Carson Wentz was never bad. He was inconsistent and he got hurt. So, I mean, giving him a quarterback like that, he's always going to be able to succeed. So, I got Vikings. Aaron Rodgers, he can still throw the football, but he's making some of those throws where it's like, he's here for what?
Damien said, Dante's hat looks like top five most gay affiliated shit I've seen in my life.
simple White Sox hat. But no, I think the Vikings
are going to not Long Beach, it ain't. let's go to our next game. It's the second game in a row that Marcus Mariota is going to be going up against his former team, as he'll be taking on the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. If anybody watched quarterback season one, I think it was, you saw when he got cut from the team. So, you know, he had a real good game against the Raiders last week. I do not think that's going to happen this week. I think it's going to be a good game, a competitive game. Falcons got absolutely outclassed in North Carolina last week by the Panthers. I do expect a bounce-back game from Michael Penix outside of last week. I thought he's been great this season so far. They're at home. There's no Jaden Daniels. That Commanders defense is old and slow. I'm going to go with the Falcons to win this one. I think it'll be competitive, though, but I do think I got the Falcons by like a touchdown.
Yeah, I saw something that like teams that get blown out by 21 or more points win their next game like almost 75 to 80% of the time. I don't think the Falcons are going to allow themselves to get outclassed and outmanned again. Give me the Falcons by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Falcons. I saw something a few weeks ago on the Commanders that shocked me. It was Marshawn Lattimore. And I was like, yeah, no, this team is old. They got a bunch of people my age, and that's not good. So
I ain't been there for a minute.
Bobby Wagner's there too. Like, they got everybody who's, you know, they need to go home.
He can still blitz.
Didn't they sign Von Miller?
They did sign Von Miller too. Yeah.
Yeah, he got all the unks on that team. Yeah. I'm probably older than all of them, but yeah. All the unks. Yeah, that's gonna be a lot of plays you made over there.
No, with that being said, the Falcons are firing people already. I'm going with the Commanders. I think Raheem Seed is a lot. It's getting a lot hotter than people think, simply because, you know, they have the talent on this team. You made the bold move to go with Michael Penix, and then you've pretty much handcuffed them. Like, if you watch that offense, Mike can make any throw, but at the same time, it seems like they run the same three plays out of pistol all game. And so, like, they fired the passing game coach. They promoted somebody up from it. But it's like, once you start doing stuff like that, bro, you're really grasping that straw. So I hate to say it, but I do think the Falcons are going to lose. I think Mariota comes in and he does have a good game. And now you're going to have even more questions down here with Raheem and everybody in Atlanta.
Yeah, they fired Ike Hilliard as the wide receivers coach. T.J. Yates, former quarterback in the NFL, he's taking on more of a responsibility. No Jaden Daniels, no Terry McLaurin. I still got the Commanders winning this game. Dan Quinn is going back to his former spot. He gonna handle business down there. I got the Commanders in a close one.
Side note, I don't know if you guys saw, Young Thug is on the pivot this week, and he is giving us mean gold once again. He said, I feel like I'm not a man if my girl has to be a therapist. Keep giving us meme gold, okay?
You know,
keep going out there and messing up these interviews for meme purposes.
I'm tired of the pivot. I know we done taking shots at people in the industry, but I'm sick of that show. Like, it can end.
RC be up there. Let's sit up. Let me tell you, you know, we have pivot, football here.
The pivot energy.
We have football the pivot here. Energy drink. Tell us,
yo,
brother, when the last
really
time you
drink?
Cried?
Yo, you know what's
when
the wild
last
thing
time
about
you
cried,
brother?
The wild thing about interview is what's the dude with a beard and no mustache with locks? What's his name again?
Talking about Channing Crowder?
Yeah, Channing Crowder. He got a beard with no mustache. That shit's crazy as hell. But they were asking Young Thug why does he have six kids with four women. And like, he's like, yeah, that baby bat is expensive. I was like, yo, my nigga, what are you talking about? Like, what, why?
He has no PR. There's no way he has PR.
No, and I was like, yo,
man, but you know what? Look, shouts to the pivot and the pivot energy drink. And all I know is RC got every type of clothing on the man with pivot on it.
That hey, listen, got
pivot button ups, t shirts, it'd be on the neck, it'd be like right here.
Bang. I'm going to say something real crazy that I was thinking about when I saw on one of his suits. I was like, he dresses like he just got his emancipation papers, and I'm so happy for him, man. He looked like he got free, and I'm so happy for him. He looked great. Shout out to RC. That was on my spirit. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Them suits are clean as hell, but I'm like, yo, you got it. This guy's like, I gotta move on to the next game.
That's a fine.
He still can't speak. What's going on with Scott today?
All right, man, let's move on.
That's correct. Move on. Browns to Lions.
To the Browns versus the Lions.
Correct. I'm not even going to. Yeah.
Before we even say anything, Browns versus Lions, did you guys see what Shedeur Sanders or hear what
Shedeur Sanders? Can't hear Sanders, you, Scott. Figure it out.
Said. Did y'all check out what Shedeur? Hey, Scott, I got you. Y'all check out what Shedeur Sanders has said. And do you feel that was the best move for him to be talking about starting quarterbacks in that way?
I have no idea what Shedeur Sanders said. Oh, nor do wow. I, nor do I care about the Browns quarterback situation. This is a throwaway season anyway. The only thing that's really stopping the Browns from having another like top five pick is the fact that their defense is so good, which is anything. It kind of inhibits their growth. Like, I think it's stupid for them to even be trying to win games this season. You're not in a position to be trying to win, bro. What are we doing here? That being said, nope, can't hear you, bro. Can't hear, you. So we're going without
you. I got you, Scott.
I was saying, I don't care about the Browns. Give me the Lions by, like, by 10. Yeah. It's not going to be a blowout, I don't think. But, yeah, give me the Lions by, I'd say, 10 points.
Yeah, I'll say give me the Lions, too. I'll say give me the Lions, too. But, Bang, what did Shedeur say?
Yes, what did he
Shedeur,
say?
Somebody was doing an interview with Shedeur. And he said that if you see the quarterback playing the league right now, I know I'm capable of doing better than that. Shedeur Sanders said via ESPN Cleveland, I don't think playing or not playing is in my hands based on the situation. I'll be out there ready to play when I'm ready to play. But he feels, no, according to him, you look at the quarterback play right now in the league and he capable of doing better than that.
We can't knock a black man out of his confidence. If that's how he feels, that's how he feels.
For sure. But, whether or not it's true is another matter entirely. Respectfully.
What you got, Dante?
My bad. I had to unmute myself. I'm gonna get a fake fine. But today the Browns are an interesting team, bro, because I think You shot yourself in the foot drafting them. I think this still screams they didn't want to pick them, and then the owner said, "Are you fucking kidding me? Go pick them." So they set themselves up for failure with this one. So it's going to be a lot of bad PR around it, no matter what he says, no matter how he tries to be a good teammate and all of that. With that being said, I think the Lions are going to win this game, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, simply because that defense is that good. Jared Goff, he plays very well against man coverage, not so well against zone. The Browns are going to mix it up, and they have the pass rush to make him rush his process, and that's going to be a problem. So I do think the Lions win this game, but they're going to win by, like, I'd probably say three or a touchdown max.
Have the Lions winning big in this game simply because I don't think they have the I don't think that the Browns have the offense to keep up. And while that defense is major, it's still too many weapons on that offensive side for them to keep the Lions down. Scott, who you got?
First of all, I just want to say this is the worst show we've ever done. It's all because I'm gonna tell you what happened. I kept moving this fucking mic stand. I'm cussing. I'm just gonna get fined today. It is what it is. It's whatever.
We're good. Let's just cover.
When I get done recording this show, I am not editing for a couple hours, because I hate when things don't move the way I want to move. But anyway, I was moving around this mic stand, and then for some reason, StreamYard won't let you just add the mic back. I had to get off Chrome, get back on. But anyway, y'all have to say this, shout out to everybody watching, because this is like when Kobe would go like 10 for 31, which happened a lot in those six, but that's besides the point. Well, he probably went back and watched the film like, that was shit. That's how I feel right now. But anyway, the Lions are going to blow the Browns out. I thought you just said, Bang, I think that they have the defense to make this fake competitive, like a quarter and a half, and then they're going to wonder that, oh, they have four quarterbacks. And to speak on what Shedeur Sanders was saying, Bang, I feel the confidence what he was saying from his quote. It's very laughable for him to say at this particular time in his career, and I'm not going to tell him to tone it down. He's a Sanders. He's not going to tone it down, and obviously he is an athlete. But I do believe that he should probably just chill out for a little bit until he's actually starting in the NFL, because even quarterbacks who are way more talented than he are still dealing with the challenges of playing quarterback. Even like a Caleb Williams or, C.J. Stroud, they have more talent in their pinky than he does. And that's no disrespect to Shedeur. I like Shedeur, but they're struggling with it. So it takes a minute. And thank you, Bay, for holding it down.
By the way, did y'all see what happened with when the Ravens played the Lions and Amon got a touchdown and he was like talking crazy? Somebody was just like, nigga, ain't you from Berlin?
Yeah, they read that quote out on his podcast. And that's what Demo said. That's what your daddy was talking about, the black side getting stumped out. So yeah, they said the entry from Berlin is hilarious. Saints Bills, undefeated Bills. Moving on, I have nothing to say about that.
Undefeated Bills. We can keep that rolling.
Oh, you really have nothing to say? I thought you were. I thought that was
no. I was dead ass. I ain't got nothing to say about that.
So delusional. I'm really telling myself that there's no way that after getting stomped out by the Seahawks, that this team, New Orleans, that they will not have and show a little bit of heart, like shows, like defensively shows some heart. They're going to lose, to be clear, and it's not going to be particularly pretty. But like, if you lose by say 14, maybe not the worst day. Maybe not the worst day. Okay.
14. I'm just that's saying. That's the first quarter score.
Something. Okay. And that's my like smidge of positivity is that this team won't lose by more than shit. I'm gonna say 13. They're not gonna lose by more than 13 points, and that's a win in my books. But sadly, I feel like this also might be the last stand with Spencer Rattler. Like, I feel like we might be on Tyler Shug watch.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tosin, you were right. Courtney has been in Texas too long. You hear the accent almost came out like she's been there for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to think. Oh, well, shit. It's, I don't be hearing it all the time. Came out today.
Yeah. Not everybody needs to know that I'm from Alabama. I'll let you know.
I didn't tell them. You just fucking told them. I didn't tell them. You were right. He was like, yeah, I'm from Alabama. I didn't say that. go ahead, Tosin.
You're gonna see Mitch Trubisky in the third quarter. That's my prediction for this game. Hey, you go ahead. I ain't got nothing else to say.
Maserati Mitch. Hey, I want to fight Lewis Reddick for that nickname already. You said Maserati. I don't even pay attention to anything said by quarterback no more. Maserati Mitch, you gotta look at this kid. You've seen that for 2 years. But my bad, Dante.
No, you good. It's real quick. Bills by Lisa Dub.
I know it's any given Sunday, but
not this Sunday.
Not this Sunday.
Any given Sunday. On this Sunday, is a movie with Jamie Foxx and Al Pacino. That's it.
You know it's gonna be funny. We come back on Monday. We all gonna be like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Your Saints win. Yeah.
If you got one, what's them joints be doing? Them suicide or what they call it? What the when they be picking the teams? What's that?
Like a survivor pool?
Yeah, survivor pool. Sorry for the other word. But survivor pool, yeah. Pick whoever going up against the Saints in your survivor pool.
That's wild.
That's what you should do.
But accurate.
This next game is the battle of people who used to reside in Houston or currently do. The Texans and Titans, the Houston Blue Invitational. I don't know what else to say about C.J. Stroud. I'm just going to chalk him up into he's huff. I've seen enough. He's huff. There's nothing else we need to be debating about what happened. He's huff. The Titans are also not good. They have a rookie quarterback who has shown some fight. I think he will be fine in a long in a long term, if they can get the right pieces around him. That defensive line of Houston that is going to be wasted because their quarterback doesn't know what to throw, they're going to feast on Sunday. And I do believe the Texans will find a way to win this game. So I'm going to go Texans over the Titans.
Yeah, I do think the Texans are going to win this game simply because they have to win this game. Because someone is going to lose their job one way or the other if the Texans don't win this game. Sadly for Cam Ward, and again, I will defend Cam Ward until the day I die. If Cam Ward has no fans, I'm 6 feet under. Do you understand? So it's not his fault that the team around him is mid. It's not his fault that Calvin Ridley doesn't know how to catch a football anymore. It's not his fault that their offensive line is absolutely terrible. That being said, Texans are going to win this game. I think it'll still be pretty close. And I don't think it'll be very high scoring. But Texans have a significantly better defense. And I think that's the difference maker in this game. So I'm going Houston.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Courtney. It's the defense that really holds it up for the Texans. I don't see anything good about the Titans. I mean, they got a good quarterback, I guess. But CJ Stroud, ever since he tried to, like, little big bro Caleb, it just hasn't worked out for him. So, you know, don't do that. But apparently there's been rumors that him and his coach don't get along together. So I don't know. But Texans are going to win. Whatever, man. Both these teams are bad.
They don't get along because D'Amico is right next to Raheem as far as black coaches who are going to get the Rooney Rule next. That's what's going to happen. That's why he don't like CJ. We're getting my job out of here.
Yeah, no, I got the Texans winning this, but I do think there's a lot of truth to that because a lot of the stuff going on with CJ right now, you really can't explain it. I'm not in the camp that he's not good. I think, you know, trading his left tackle. He still has Nico, but, you know, losing Tank Dell, a guy who he was, you know, he campaigned to get on the team. I think that's affected him. So I think it's just dealing with some new things, new offensive coordinator, shit like that. But I think overall, this team, this is the week for them to get right. It may not be pretty, but I do think they win this game. I'm going to go Texans by 10.
Hey, man, I think C.J. Stroud trying to find himself again. I think that's part of the issue. Dead serious. I said since the beginning of the season that the aura is not there. The confidence is not there. I don't think it – I mean, is there things going on behind the scenes with the coaching staff, with his head coach? Probably. Bobby Slowick was his offensive coordinator before, his first offensive coordinator, and – that didn't work out, and he gets let go, and then they elevate somebody to be the offensive coordinator, and it don't seem to work out. But I don't see it in his eye. Like, if you look at C.J. Stroud right now, he does not seem confident, or something else is off. He's talked about, you know, re-engaging his love for his God and religion and everything, and while I have nothing against that, when I hear that, that means, man, I'm trying to get right. And Courtney, remember y'all, Courtney yelled at me sometime last year when I mentioned something about a golfer, right? And what did I say? That swag ain't there because he's not able to do what he wants to do. It's something going on with CJ Stroud. That's a similar situation. Don't know what it is.
You know who it was? It was Amber Rose.
Hey,
that's a good point. I didn't think about that one. That's a good point.
I think he went left.
That's a good point.
When he was supposed to go right, things happen. He trying to find himself. And in the midst of him trying to find himself, he forgot to play quarterback well.
A God-fearing man went down that dark zone.
This game. I am just like I picked the Carolina Panthers to beat the Falcons, just like I almost won with the Giants beating the Cowboys. I have been on a little bit of an underdog streak, and it's going to continue. I am picking the Tennessee Titans to win the game because they're undergoing some changes on their own. Brian Callahan is not calling plays no more. He's relinquished that. I think that's going to be helpful for the Tennessee Titans. They pull it out in the upset.
It's also CJ on start.
Great point. Great point, Courtney, because I forgot that he lost his way a little bit.
Until the CJ going to start tweeting out Bible verses like Jerry and Timber before every game.
Boy, CJ don't need the Bible. You know what CJ needs? He needs the Quran. He's going to go learn Islam. Go become a nation. Go become a member of the nation. Jay Electronica drop some new music. Go listen to that. Get yourself right.
And man, he put too much dip on his chip, man. Yeah, and yeah, man. You don't want to do that, man. I definitely that's a good point, man. And Courtney, I did not even think about that.
I've been saying this even before the season, fam. His aura is off. And maybe it did start with him trying to know big bro Caleb Williams. Because that's not in his mindset. That's not in his nature. He probably started doing things that was outside. He get caught taking Amber Rose to the car. He probably had...
Hey, I will say, on a very serious, like, back to sports pivot, though, Mina Kimes said something a few days ago that is, like, so spot on. And it's just because you change your offensive line, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's good. Like, people automatically assume, oh, change offensive line, that means good. She's like, that doesn't always happen. And no. She feels like that's the case with Caleb and the Texans right now.
Yeah,
Caleb
I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it, but man, I've never seen a man swag fall so far from the quarterback position. Like when we saw him his rookie season, he was confident. He was on that podcast talking. He was on that podcast talking his stuff. We saw him out there and everything. And the last 2 years have been mid, and it's gotten worse. And when we go into this one, I think it's something else, and I think Buddy trying to find himself. I think it's more than that. Ain't nobody going to come out in the news and say that, but he does not feel like the same quarterback he was his rookie season.
And this is why Jaden Daniels' mom is always around protecting him.
Bingo.
Well, this next game is actually quietly, in my opinion, going to be.
Let's give Courtney a round of applause for taking us down the train that was definitely about to go off track. Because I had something else.
I'm the person on the tracks that grabs the little thing just to make sure.
Save that for summer sessions.
She made a
point about the Amber Rose thing. I totally forgot about the Amber Rose thing.
Courtney is like when McNulty grabbed Bunk when he about to get hit by that train because he's been drinking too much Jameson. That's what I was about to do. Shout out to Black Mothers. Shout out to Black Mothers. I love my mother to death, but I would definitely not want her around 24/7 if I was changing names. But moving right along, Panthers at Patriots. I'm not going to be fooled by what I saw from the Panthers last week. I got the Patriots winning this one at the crib. I really like what I've seen from Drake May. Of course, he's had some ups and downs, but overall, I've been pleased. I got the Patriots winning this game.
Christian Gonzalez is still questionable, but I will say if he does play on Sunday, that is like my must-watch matchup, Tet McMillan versus Christian Gonzalez. I can't wait to watch. I still think the Patriots are going to win this game, but I can't wait to watch that matchup to watch for sure.
Yeah, I got the Patriots winning this one. Just another Labubu quarterback in the Panthers quarterback. Another tiny man. Xavier Leggett cannot catch a ball to save his life. It's all bad over there. At least Tet is doing something, but that offense looks like it struggles to get up the field. And yeah, the Patriots, they're going to be at home, right? The Patriots are at home for this one?
Yeah, Patriots are at home.
Yeah, they'll be all right. They'll be fine. They'll figure it out.
He said Drake May is Jay Cutler, who actually gives a shit. Give Jake, and we're going to put too much respect on Jay's name. Let him make an NFC championship game first. Let's put some respect on Jay's name. And way too much short king slander on this episode of the show. Tosin's doing that to y'all because he's like 6'3". So don't let him talk about y'all. Talk about us. go ahead, Dante.
No, I'm going with the Patriots. I think the Atlanta Falcons have a heavy hand in keeping Bryce Young employed. So they're not going to play them every Sunday. I think this is going to go into a game where they continue to struggle. Like you said, Ted has been doing a lot, but the rest of those receivers leave a lot to be desired. And even with Ted, he makes a lot of spectacular catches, but then will drop a pass right in his hand. So that team still has a lot of growth to go through. I'm going to go Patriots by a touchdown.
I'm picking the Panthers on this one, too. I think that while we look at Drake May or Jay Cutler, who actually cares, that thing, but that running game is not playing in the way that I thought they were going to play. And I think that continues, which puts a bit more pressure on Drake May. I got the Panthers winning this in a close one.
That would be funny. The next one is the Eli Manning Bowl. The Chargers and the Giants in New York or in Jersey. The Jackson Dart era begins. Russell Wilson has been officially benched. Jackson Dart will be the starter. The Chargers are continuing to roll right now. They're trying to go to 4-0. Jacksonville is about to get his welcome to the NFL moment. This is a really good Charger defense. They're hitting on all cylinders. Malik Nabers is very close to asking out by trade deadline. I don't think that's going to help right now. I think the Chargers are going to win this game, and I think they're going to win it pretty easily. I'm going with the Chargers in this one. Jay Herbo is going to put on a show.
Yeah, I have the Chargers winning this game, and it goes back to something that I've constantly said, especially about the Giants in particular, is that we're relying too much on a rookie quarterback to save everybody's job and to save a season. And I just think that's an incredibly unfair burden to put on Jackson Dart. That being said, I know you can't trot Russell Wilson out there when he's throwing balls well past the end zone on fourth down. I get it. Okay. Start Jameis. Like, I don't know. I just think it's unfair. You know, you're not doing anything if you're the Giants. So like, who are we doing this for? Like, let the kids sit and observe some veterans some more. I just think, especially this against this team, it's just it's a really unfair welcome to the NFL moment. I really feel for the kid. Godspeed. Chargers are going to win.
Yeah, I got the
I just want to say, Angel says, who we starting, Falcons or Bears defensive fans? First of all, it's a rough pick. Never pick the Bears right now until they prove it to you. So I will start the Falcons defense. Go ahead, Tulsa.
I was going to say that this is Jackson Dart's, you know, first start in the NFL against the Chargers. Defense is really good. The offense is clicking and it's looking rough. So Giants, one, you better pray to all the Latter-day Saints because that Mormon man needs help. Second of all, send Dex Lawrence to Baltimore. How about that? Let's do that. So.
You said give him an out. Dante, who you got?
Man, and this one, Chargers. I think I will say this. I don't like a lot of the shit that people have been saying about Russell Wilson. I think it was corny as fuck that Richard Sherman got on TV yesterday and talked about what he'd be without the LOB as if you would have been anything without Russell Wilson. Like, let's keep it a bean. When you left Seattle, your career wasn't anything. So I think that's crazy that they try to slander that man that much. But I think I'm fine with Dabo starting Jackson Dart because he understands that his job is now going to be on the line. Like, it's one of those moments where he needs a spark. And even if Jameis can keep the boat afloat, it's not the same. It's not the same as if you can get there with Jackson Dart and show them that, hey, we have a young guy that we can build around and I'm going to be the one to coach him up. So I see why they made that move, but it ain't going to start this week. Because I think, like you said, Herbo is really on – a mission to prove that he is a top five quarterback in this league, and he's been doing that so far this season. I think the Chargers continue to roll and they get the dub.
My heart wants to pick the Giants, but sometimes I'm heartless. And on this day I am. Giants gonna get their ass beat. I think this is one of those games where if Harbaugh has something against Ole Miss for some reason, from a collegiate standpoint, yeah, he going to put it out there in this one. I don't think this game going to be close. I think Jackson Dart might look decent enough to be like we got something, but I could also see this being similar to that Justin Fields game because that defense that the Chargers got ain't for the week. So, yeah, I got two pick sixes in this game.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. We are going to speed pick these next five games because we are behind the clock to nobody's fault but mine, okay? Today is purely my fault, so we're behind the eight ball, so we're going to speed through these next couple games. Eagles-Bucks, this to me is a low-key game of the week that nobody's talking about enough. You got the Eagles who have been killing it, you know, almost lost last week, found a way to win. The Bucks been playing really good. You know, but the Bake Show been walking dudes down these last couple weeks. This is in Tampa. I don't know which way I want to go with this one. I think I'm gonna go with the Eagles though, because the Eagles are just finding ways to win. And the Bucks, as much as they've come back and win these last couple games, they've been very close to lose a lot of these games as well. I think the Eagles' experience will shine through here, so I'm going to go with the Eagles. We're going to go around quickly. Who everybody got? Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, I got the Eagles. That's all. Go Birds.
I got the Eagles, too.
I got the Bucks.
I got the Bucks in this game as well.
Okay, let's go on to this next one. Colts Rams. This one in Los Angeles as well. The Colts are looking to move to 4-0. I think the Colts' little amazing run to start to the season will get a little road bump here. I'm going with the Rams in this one.
Yeah, I feel like the undefeated streak is coming to an end this week. Rams should have won last week. Give me the Rams.
I got the Rams too.
Oh, my bad. I am going with.
I'm gonna name this the worst episode ever.
That's gonna be it. No, I love the new swaggy owner with the Colts, but I'm gonna go with the Rams. Rams by a touchdown.
I don't know why I say like my camera is breathing right now.
Yeah, yeah. Bang camera like a Missy Elliott video.
Really been the saving grace of this.
I'm
just saying.
Clue what's going on? I look like I even got a glow right now. I got the Colts.
Okay, Jags Niners. Brock Purdy is back starting this week, according to Kyle Shanahan. The Jaguars. I'm going with the Niners. They've been 2-0 even without Brock Purdy. Matt Jones held it down. I think they're gonna do what they need to do. They're gonna move on and have a good win this week. Going Niners.
I'm going Niners too, especially if Brock Purdy's back.
Yeah, we're not going to Duval. We're going to the 49ers this game. So yeah.
Yeah, Niners. I'll keep my, Travis Hunter comments to myself, but Niners.
What did Travis Hunter do?
He didn't do nothing. I mean, that's part of the point. But
oh, I got you. Okay. All right.
I want to add to that. I just thought it's egregious that this man, they thought he could play both sides in the NFL. Like, pick a side and stick to it. These are grown-ass men. Like, what do you – you're not like, there's very few people who can ever play both sides of the NFL. You're gonna get tired from doing the first place. So yeah,
you're
just
not playing against Southeast Louisiana State, fam.
No.
Not,
People who will be working at a Bojangles in 6 months.
Yeah, man. Look, Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, it don't matter. Jet lag is gonna beat the Jags. So that's seven right there for jet lag. So I got the Niners in this one in a route.
All right, yeah, that was I messed up that cue. That was on me. Anyway, I'm so ready for this to be over. Let's move on. Ravens at Chiefs. I already know who Tulsa's going to pick, as he should. He's going to go with the Ravens. I don't really know who's going to win this game because I feel like both of these teams have not been playing well right now. But it's in Kansas City, and I find it hard to believe that Roger Goodell is going to allow the Chiefs to go 1-3. I think it's going to be a very questionable call somewhere in this game. Xavier Worthy is back. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I'm not confident about it, but I think the Chiefs edge it out and get a very, very close victory.
Yeah, I really just care about what Taylor Swift is wearing. Go Chiefs.
Courtney, fun fact for you. The hotel was in Kansas City. It was right above 1587, so I know that means something to you.
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh, that's the restaurant that Travis Kelce owns, and apparently everyone was so excited.
Isn't that? Oh, that's their numbers.
Yeah, oh. Kelce. Yeah.
Chiefs lose. Mahomes is never stepping foot in another blank barbershop.
I'm gonna surprise everybody. I got the Chiefs winning. The referee is Clay Martin, and since 2020, with Martin as a ref, the Chiefs are 6-0, and the Ravens are 0-3. So there you go.
So, I've been a Bears fan long enough to know reverse psychology. You can fool them. You cannot fool me.
And I'm going Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson, once again, he's kind of in that mold where, like, we know he's going to perform. It's just a matter of how can the Ravens screw him over? Like, he's been getting jagged by his own team lately. So I think this is one of those games where I think Lamar's going to put up a lot of points. I know that Chiefs defense, they still can, cause problems. But for a guy like Lamar, I think it's going to be a good game. And I think Ravens by 10.
Yeah. Tolson, you ain't fooled me. I'm picking the Ravens here.
As Bane, I said earlier. Bane, your camera looked like the beginning of the James Bond movies where you couldn't see that dude. Yeah. And then like,
but when I start talking, it stops. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that the most desperate team is going to win. And you can't tell me there's no desperation from Lamar, that defense, Derrick Henry, who been out here fumbling and stuff. This is a must-win game for both teams. But I feel like that the Ravens feel like it's the most win out of all of them. Give me the Ravens.
Lamar got to stop coming to games with his hair unbraided, by the way. Braid your hair every game.
He said, put the braids in. They had him, they photoshopped Lamar on Orlando from The Wire. That's why he got to stop doing that. Final game, because Monday Night Football, we'll preview both Monday Night Football games on Monday morning. Angel says he can barely hear Unc. That's hilarious. I can't barely hear. Anyway, Packers Cowboys. I would love to see the Packers lose this game and Micah's homecoming, but I have a little thing called intelligence, and that is not going to happen. The Packers are going to win this game. I don't even think it's going to be that close, to be completely honest, because I saw what we did to their defense, and I know they're going to do better than we are. Jerry Jones is very funny for those Michael Parsons comments. He was not wrong, but he was very funny about the Michael Parsons comments. But I do think Michael's going to have two sacks on Sunday night. I'm going to go Packers win this one.
Yeah, I'm going Packers. And also, I think, the comments from Jerry Jones about Micah, it's just giving, like, bitter ex-girlfriend who's, like, upset that you moved on. And not only did you move on, but, like, you moved on to someone better and hotter and, like, in a better position in their life. It's just, like, kind of embarrassing. Give me the Packers, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
The Packers are the girlfriend who slept with their brother?
I don't know about that, but I'm just saying, like, the Packers are the hotter girlfriend.
It was a Green Bay joke, Courtney.
Okay.
They don't have VHS tape Lamb, so that's even worse for the Cowboys. So yeah, the Packers are gonna beat them anyway, with CD or without CD. So whatever. Packers win.
Yeah, Packers by honestly probably two touchdowns.
That's going to be embarrassing. Packers in a route.
Yeah. Micah
Parsons, record.
Yeah, it's going to be ass-whooping.
He's going to do something that's going to be unbelievable. He's going to do something that's highlight worthy. And he's going to look at whatever box Jerry at.
And he still got his box. He still got his box. And we say he still got his box, so his family's saying he's not selling it. Anyway, that is all we got for our extremely long week for preview. That if y'all want to blame anybody, blame this idiot right here in the red hoodie. Blame me, okay? Do not blame my amazing cast. And especially don't blame Tolson and Courtney, who they had no fuck-ups today. Blame me mostly, and then we're going to do it in this order. That's how we're going to blame it. But anyway, that'll be it for Bang, Courtney, and Dante. Me and Tolson are going to talk a little footy for about 15 minutes. Bang, Dante, I'll holler at y'all in about 20 minutes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Courtney, you have a great weekend. Let people know.
About to hit my hand like Mjolnir, brother. Let's go. Let's go.
Have a great weekend. We will holler at y'all three on Monday morning. So we will holler at y'all. All right. So we're going to close this episode of the show with Soccer for Dummies, like we always do around this time. Me and Tosin. So, yeah, man, it's been, first of all, I just got to say, I love the latest episode of the Shirtless Plantain Show, where you told Dean and Coach that Arsenal fans have to get a grip. Because yeah. I've been texting you about this a lot. Like, look, man, I love the club. I'm a big fan of the club. Glad I picked this club. But I've never seen a fan base just be so fragile. And I've been around Bears fans, and that says a lot. Like, I'd say the difference between the two fan bases that I've seen, Bears fans, they're just legit dumb. I'm sorry. They just don't know the game of football.
Yeah.
That's their biggest problem. They don't understand the game of football and how it's played. I feel with Arsenal fans, they, you know what I'm saying? That's just good news.
Yeah.
But Arsenal fans, man, it's like they panic about everything.
Yes, you know they do.
Thing. It's September. Every week is a must win. You got some people, they want champagne football, as they like to call it. And I think the thing that we got to see is a lot of things. I've been watching tactic videos, bro. I've been in my bag. I'm trying to learn more about the game from that perspective. And what I've learned is, like, I think people just don't like how Arteta play his style, but I don't think it's a style of ball where he's just not trying to attack at the same time. I think there's a lot of things you got to put into it. God willing, this weekend will be the first time we have our full attacking roster as it's supposed to be, with Eze on the left, Gyökeres in the middle, and Bakayo on the right. He's been switching around since Bakayo got hurt before Eze made his Arsenal debut. So you got that. You got people shuffling in around at the lineup. You had your captain, the guy who's one of the motors of your offense, Martin Odegaard. He hasn't really played. You know, he's played one full game all season. He got hurt in the Leeds game, and he missed the game. And he got hurt in the Nottingham game. So you've had that missing. You've had a whole bunch of things. And then also on top of that, they've had a very, very tough schedule. Very, very tough schedule. You know, you had United, even though – feel what you want to feel about United. That's a hard place to win, a place that Arsenal don't win at that much. That's and it's week one. Anything happened week one. You know, everybody think they got a chance week one. It was a very, very tough game. And then you got Liverpool. I'm not going to call it lucky, but an amazing free kick. Say what you want to say about Manchester City. I didn't like Mourinho starting. I had a problem with Trossard starting more than Mourinho starting. But there's so many other factors that I feel like you got to let it play out. Me, before I even react, on what's going on, I'm giving it to at least Janeway first. And, you know, I understand that Liverpool's been playing well. You don't want to be down 8 or 9 points. But I also feel like they haven't hit the tough part of their schedule. Things are going to start to bounce. I think you said on the show, like, this football season don't start till it get cold outside.
It's both footballs, bro.
Yeah,
once it's like, you know, when you go outside and you're like, I don't want to be outside, I'm going back upstairs. That's when the season starts for football and football. Both of our sports. And when it's like that brick time in November, December, January, that's when your season starts.
I'm looking at the NFL season starts on Thanksgiving. That's when it starts.
Yeah.
That's when it starts. And so, like, so you look at everything. We're going to start off with the Arsenal talk. Like, so, and I think also what kind of looks at how different some of the fans feel about Arteta compared to what the players feel about Arteta. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the players feel differently. If you got William Saliba, who's coming here and he's like, "Oh, I'm staying with this team. I'm dedicating my prime years." Big Gabby resigned. You got a guy like Ethan Wanyera, even though he's young, he was concerned about playing time. Mm-hmm. Mikel told him something that he liked. If he resigned for 5 years. Yeah. Miles Skelly has not really played at all this season. He resigned. So, obviously, and then you have Eze. People were talking about, oh, he yelled something to Eze about staying on the left. How dare a coach yell an instruction at a player, number one. And number two, you got Eze. I think it was from a Sky Sports interview said, that he loves playing for Mikel Arteta. And every day he learns something new. He's being tested in the way that he hasn't been tested. From your opinion, man, why do you think that there's so much, I guess, like, angst amongst the fan base? I get it's been 21 years since you won a Premier League. The team has never won a Champions League in their life. They haven't won any type of silver war in 5 years. I understand that's that pressure. But what do you think is just over the top with everything with Arsenal from the fan base, even from the larger media as well, or just Arteta's the problem?
I think the real issue, and it's not just Arsenal fans, but it's other sports fans. Like, I'm a Ravens fan too, so I see it where I'm like, everyone's mad at EDC for not trading away draft picks. I'm just like, first and foremost, running a competent sports team is one of the hardest things to do. It doesn't matter what sports team, like, to be consistently good in any sport is hard, right? And Arsenal have, for the lack of better terms, the last 6 years, been one of the best clubs in the world, not just in England. I generally feel Arsenal's a top five team in the world. You're defensively sound. Yeah, you get unlucky breaks where you get injured. And I understand the fans' frustration. I get that. But I need everybody to relax a little bit, understand, like, this has been a very long, drawn-out process. And if it doesn't work out with Mikel, he's built a good enough team where the next person can take it to another level. I just feel that being online 24/7, people just have lost their minds. Like, bro, y'all got to take a step back and realize that this is just a game and it's going to take some time. You're not going to win the Premier League in September. You're not going to win the Premier League in October. Wait till March. Wait till February. Like, and I understand you. Some people still have scars, right? Like, they still have, like, scars from yesteryear. Like, oh, this didn't happen. But it's a new season, bro. You got to relax. Like, Newcastle is a good way for you guys to show, okay, we're here. You have the talent. You have the depth. I think Arsenal one of the most strongest teams in the world when it comes to depth. Like, you have damn near two 11s of really talented players. So I just feel fans are too eager. They don't want to get bantered by other people. It's like, oh, like, they're making fun of my team. Bro, I've said this about Manchester United, not to talk about my team, but I'm going to answer your question with the thing that I said about my team. Embrace who you are. I know what Man United are. We are dickheads. Nobody likes us. And I love that. Be the assholes that you are. Be the terrible team that you are. Be the problem. Arsenal, the culture team, right? Lean into that. Don't care what other people have to say. Love your club and do not care about the noise. The problem I see with Arsenal fans and every other fan base is you keep listening to outside noise. Who cares what somebody has to say about Mikel Arteta? Who cares what has to say about Saka? Who cares what has to say about Eze or Gyökeres or anything? These are just jokes. Everyone's going to get them. Love your team, and that's really it. And I just hate to curse again on air, but don't be a bitch. This is gender neutral. Like, don't be a bitch. Like, don't do that. Like, you're much better than that. So to answer your question, Arsenal fans just need to grow up. That's really it. Like, you are one of the best teams in the world. You will end up winning a trophy soon. Trust me, it will come. And when you're defensively solid like the way you are, no one can beat you. It's just now, how do you get your attackers to gel well? And it'll happen. You know, these are just things that happens over the course of a season.
Yeah, I agree too. And yeah, they do the banter part too. It's like, if that's one thing I do like about United fans. It's like, yeah, hey, y'all, everybody talks about y'all, but y'all are like, yeah, fuck it, we wear it. Like, Arsenal fans don't wear it. It's like they want to be liked by everybody, which is like, we also about big club energy. Act like a big club. And then also the thing is part of it too, where a lot of bigger Arsenal heads who do like media looks, they let other people talk about their club. They just be laughing it off. Fuck that. I know the Bears stink. I will defend them in front of company all the time. I do not care. I will find a way. So, but to move on, you talk about the Newcastle game this week. I saw a lot of people obviously nervous about it. This will be my first time watching them play them at St. James Park. I understand that's a hard place to play and things like that. But I've watched every Newcastle match this week. I mean, this year. They can't score. And they can't score, obviously, even against defenses that are inferior to Arsenal. And this, if Martin Odegaard is ready to go on Sunday, it looks like he will be. You're going to get your starting 11 like it should be for the first time this year. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity. You're going to know what's on the line before you kick the ball off, because Poole plays Crystal Palace tomorrow at Selhurst Park. Mm-hmm. I personally think Liverpool's going to lose. That's my my hot take. Honestly, they've been pulling them out every week. I think they're going to at least lose some points tomorrow. But mm-hmm. I think if you can, my overall thing, if you can at least get to January 7th, when Liverpool gets to the Emirates within 6 points, I think you got a shot.
For sure.
And then, because then you'll win, you cut it down to three. I'm with you. I do think the trophy is going to come. I think they're going to get at least one this year, maybe two. And I do think they got to take each one. But I think William Saliba signing is a great thing. Sounds like Bukayo Saka is going to be coming next. And now you've got your core. So even if Mikel isn't somebody who can get it done, looks like Josh Kroenke's got even more power now. He got rid of Tim Lewis. Looks like that. They spent a lot of money. They're going to be spending more money. So if Arteta can't get it done, trust me, there will be a line of people who would love to coach this talent in their primes and lock them to contracts. I think that's one thing that Arsenal has got us putting.
And I have a hot take who Arsenal should replace Mikel with if in the future, if that's where you want to go. I've told you this privately, and I say it publicly. I think Cesc Fabregas should be Arsenal's next coach. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. But I still like Mikel Arteta. I don't think he should be leaving anytime. Yeah. So I think he's got both of his feet up on the couch. Like, he's coaching. Yeah.
I think that if he even gets one trophy, even if it's a trophy as small as the Carabao Cup, I just think he can't go trophyless with the money that the team spent this year. But moving on, let's talk about the Premier League leaders, Liverpool. They are finding a way to win each week, 15 points out of 15. Won their Carabao Cup matchup this week against Southampton, but something very funny happened in that game. Hugo Etsikike, who you put me on months ago, and he was number two on my list right after Gyökeres. I don't like the fit there, not just because I don't like Liverpool, but we all knew that the Isak thing was eventually going to happen. Mm-hmm. I feel like he should have went somewhere where you knew that your playing time was not going to be taken away. He went out there, scored the game-sealing goal, took his shirt off, and, you know, put it up in the air like Messi did, and he got the red card, got kicked out. whole big thing. And now there's drama, people saying, oh, he's frustrated about the playing time. Are we making too much of a big deal out of this situation? And what do you think about, obviously, I won't say long-term future because he's under contract. He's not going anywhere. But what do you think this is going to, you think he's going to have a hard time dealing with the fact that either he's going to be sharing it with Ezach, he maybe plays a little bit of left wing, or that he's just going to be coming into games that Ezach's not playing?
What I tell you like 10 minutes ago, 5-10 minutes ago, I told you that fans overreacting, they're too online. Like, bro, we're in, it's September 26, 2025. My good brothers and sisters, the season ends in May, June, okay? Relax, calm down, okay? That's all I got to say. They'll figure it out. They're all far too talented. They don't have egos. Ikatike is not somebody who I see has an ego. He's somebody who understands, you know, you got to share minutes, you got to share time. And plus, you got to understand, like, look, players are dropping like flies, man. Like, there's injuries all over the place. So Liverpool have two really good strikers, one who could play on the left. They could play together. They could play off each other. There's different variations of formation they can play. So they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. These are rich nigga problems to have. Excuse my French. That's what Liverpool 100%. Has. Right?
And yeah, they just lost one of their center backs for a year with the ACL.
Yeah.
You know, Barcelona just lost Rafinha after losing Yamin. This happens.
Yeah, no, they lost Gavi. They lost Gavi for like until March.
Yeah. So, And you're right about that. The season's so low. I thought about the other day, like, when the season ends, we'll be a week away from the NBA Finals.
We also
the NBA season don't begin in them until a month.
My brother, by the time the season ends, we're getting right into the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long time from now. Where? It's a long time from now. We're going to wrap it up with these two topics, man. One last Premier League topic. Chelsea, obviously, you guys beat them in a hilarious game on Sunday. You know, they came into this with a lot of momentum, a lot of people talking about them coming off the Club World Cup, whatever y'all personally feel about the Club World Cup. I think it's a sham of a tournament or whatever you want to feel. Won a conference, trophy, and they came in, won a Club World Cup. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. They dealt with Liam Delap. He's going to be out for a while. Cole Palmer's been in and out of the lineup. He's going to be out again now with that groin injury. And they have just not started off the way a lot of people thought they were going to start off, especially with the softer side of their schedule. What have you seen from Chelsea these first 6 weeks, not just league games, but cup games? And what do you think they go from here?
Man, look, I said this last year. I'm not really a big fan of Enzo Maresca and his talents. I think that, like most Chelsea managers, he'll end up getting fired eventually. And I think his time is going to be coming up soon. I do think Chelsea is a talented team, but I also think Chelsea don't have any center backs. And when you can't defend, it happens. I don't also think Enzo Fernandez is that good. I also think that they don't have their balance right in midfield. They also don't have certain things going for them. But with the injuries Chelsea has now with Cole Palmer, which is their best player by a country mile, they also have their striker injured as well, Liam Delap. So Chelsea has a little bit of issues here and there, but again, I want to be professional when I say this. Good. So that's all I got to say is good. Brighton will probably end up beating them tomorrow. Brighton looked spry against Tottenham last week. They just couldn't defend properly. Carlos Baleba has not been playing well at all. The spotlight's on him. He got linked to United. Now he looks like a main United midfielder. Derogatory. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's looking very, very tough for Chelsea. And again, Champions League is back. Like I told you, when teams are playing two games a week in the Premier League, that's when your season really starts. We got a little bit of, like, you know, here and there, like, but once you're consistently playing two games a week, then you'll see whose legs are really tested. Then you really see who's really good. But right now, Enzo Maresca, he's probably going to end up being the next Premier League manager fired between him and Ruben Amorim. So, yeah.
And that's another reason why when fans freak out about lineups, I'll be down laughing, like, you know, like, Arsenal play the Carabao Cup game Wednesday, play Sunday. 48 hours later, you got a Champions League game on. Like, so you got to figure out how you're going to put these rotations together, man. Final topic, we're going to talk Kylian Mbappe. First of all, shout out to Ousmane Dembele for winning the Ballon d'Or award. He has a great story. If you don't know about his story, just look it up, bro. They didn't post it. It's hella shit on YouTube for you to watch. But great story of him coming from all these different clubs he came to. Amazing year last year. Winning the Champions League. Just being dominant in every phase of the game. It feels like a lot of heat is on Kylian Mbappe right now because of what his former teammate has been doing. His former, you know, obviously they're on the French national team together. in just a year. He's had everybody wondering when's Killian going to get his. Starting off very hot. 9 goals already in all competitions. Real Madrid has been killing it. You know, say what you want to say about the way they play. Xavi Alonso has really had those guys ready, and they're currently leading La Liga. And he has been the main type, main reason. You actually kind of see, I want to say it being passed because, you know, Vinny's still young, but Vinny was kind of the face of that franchise, that club for a while. And now it's undoubtedly Killian. And there's even rumors about Vinny leaving into something. Whether it happens or not, we'll see. I'm pretty sure he's going to have a very big price tag around him. Probably going to set records if he does go to another team. What have you seen from Killian Mbappe as hot start? I know you were one of the people during the summer saying, y'all are talking way too crazy about this kid.
I mean, look, Killian and Erling Haaland are so much better than everybody else at this sport right now. I think the best three players in the world is Killian, Haaland, and Pedri. I think those three are just so above everybody else. It's not even fair. I think nobody midfield-wise is better than Pedri. But I think what Killian and Haaland are doing right now is remind everybody, listen, don't ever forget that we are the big dogs in this shit, okay? We are the alpha dogs. Me and Killian are, you know, that's what Haaland and them is saying. They're like, listen, we're the two best in the world, okay? We're really, really good at what we do. And don't ever forget who and what we are. So that's number one. Number two, people forget what Killian did individually last year. I know Madrid didn't win any titles, whatever. He broke the record for the most goals in the debut season in Real Madrid history. He had almost 45 goals last year, quietly. Like, this man is close to, like, almost 100 goals for Real Madrid. He's, like, 53 now, 54. By the time this time next year, we're going to be saying, oh, he's maybe 10 goals away from 100 goals. And we keep forgetting that Killian is like that. And I think one of the things that Killian has done very well this season, he's adapted his game to play centrally. I think what Killian used to do in the past was cut in from the left, move in. But like now he's in the center, he'll go to the left or he'll stay in the center. So he's now adapted well in Spain, growing his hair out. He's wearing number 10. He's feeling himself and he's getting assist angles. And it's just one of these things where he just feels inevitable. Like, yeah, he's scoring a lot of penalties, but goals have to be scored and he's doing his job. So for me, Killian's always been that guy. I mean, when you saw him at Monaco when he was 16, 17 years old, you knew he was special. Like, there's some players, and it goes for every sport. You watch them and you watch maybe one or two games, you know that this is just a different breed of human being. Killian is in that level. So I'm never worried about him. He's too talented for him to fail. And he's got the mental capacity down too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Haaland too, because I hate when people, oh, his game is hard to watch. Man, look, I hate when people try to. It's like when people judge shooting guards and be like, oh, they don't do anything but score. That's what they're there for. I want my strikers to score. Like, I don't care how he looks when he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Just get the buckets. And I don't see anybody in the sport, and I like Alexander Isak, and maybe he'll get there one day. But they just make it look too easy. Mbappe, and if you give Mbappe and Haaland any type of space, if they miss it, it's because they saw them, they did. Not because of what you did. When I watched the game against City last week, as soon as Erling got in front of Saliba, I was like, it's 1-0.
Yep. Yeah. It's like that. Mm-hmm. I like this very, like, Haaland to me, and I hate to admit this out loud, and I said this about Harry Kane too. They're in that echelon of all-time strikers. Like, I don't care what you say. Like, they are up there in the pantheon of just greatness. And I don't care how they got him, how much money City pays him. Objectively speaking, you take a step back. Erling Haaland is an absolute freak of nature. You shouldn't be scoring this many goals this young in your career and just be that efficient week in and week out. So they're both great. I love Killian. I love Haaland. I think as I've gotten older too, I've gotten to be a little bit more like less, you know, hating other teams. I can just enjoy the sport from like a 360 view and understand like, yo, these are some special, special talent. So yeah, Erling and Killian are the best.
Because I thought I could hate Micah. Even with teams you hate, I thought I could hate Micah. I can't. I don't have it in me. Even though he's wearing that bullshit uniform he got on, I just ain't got it in me to hate Micah.
I'll hate Chelsea. Trust me on that. Like, I'll go out there like, boy.
You know, it's funny. Outside of Spurs, Chelsea is my number one hate watch.
I can't stand Chelsea. Like, I got a soft spot for Arsenal, even though I banter Arsenal all the time. Like, Arsenal's like my little dumbass cousin. That's why I feel like Arsenal is for me. Like, I can't hate Arsenal, man. Like, we've been through too much. I can't hate Arsenal, man. Like, we've been through too much. But yeah, it's such an interesting season because, again, like, tomorrow United plays. I'm nervous because last time we went to Brentford, we wore our third kits, right? We lost 4-0. We're wearing our third kit tomorrow. I'm like, boy. I am so scared. I am genuinely scared. But there's a lot of good games this weekend, like I talked about on the thing today, man. Like, we got the Madrid derby. We got Barcelona Sociedad. We got a whole ton of Premier League games. There's some really good Serie A games. We got Milan versus Napoli, where it's Allegri versus Conte, the two most winningest coach in Serie A history, play against each other on Sunday. We got Juventus playing against Atalanta. So there's a lot of really good games this weekend where I don't care what league you're watching, Ligue 1, Serie A, Bundesliga, there's something out there for everybody. So enjoy yourself this weekend, man. Watch the football with the football, and you have a good time this weekend.
Yeah, I'm officially a junkie. I'm tracking like six leagues right now. Like, I
love that.
Copa Italia yesterday, bro. I'm locked in. I was even watching Europa League. I don't even know half of them teams' names. I never heard half of them teams. But I was locked in watching, you know, all the stuff, man. But, yeah, I got Madrid Derby server. I'm nervous. You somebody nervous for the United game. I'm nervous for the Newcastle game. I just don't know what the – I've heard war stories about St. James Park. So I don't know what I'm walking into.
So my younger brother got to go experience a game at St. James's Park, and he was like, bro, that game, that stadium is obscene, because Newcastle don't have anything going for them. Like, they got partying and Newcastle. That's the only thing that region has. Like, Tyneside has Sunderland, but like Newcastle specifically, that town just has Newcastle and alcohol. That's and Geordie Shore, the TV show. That's about it. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal for them, and their stadium's insane. So I think y'all be fine. It's just y'all got to just mentally lock in within the first 5-10 minutes and don't lose your minds. But Arsenal should be fine on Sunday.
Yeah, I would be spending my time at a bar watching the Bears Raiders game. I don't want to be drinking for two teams. So step my day up, Arsenal. But that's all we got for y'all, not only for Soccer for Dummies, but for I'm Not Going to Hold You. Tosin, man, let them know what the schedule is like for Sherman's Plantain Show this weekend.
So we're going to have a United podcast early in the morning tomorrow. Match review that. Arsenal should have their own on Sunday. We're going to do a weekend review on Sunday. And then Champions League is back. We're going to do our Champions League stuff. And it's going to be rolling and rolling and rolling, man. We always got something new for you guys on YouTube Shorts, TikTok, IG. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Again, like I said, don't follow me on socials. I'm not that interesting anymore. I don't tweet like I used to. Follow the brand Shirtless Plantain Show everywhere. And that's all I got for you.
Definitely, man. Shout out to everybody who's been watching us for the last 2.5 hours. If you missed the local hour, which is exclusively on Patreon right now, go to the Patreon, man. We preview the entire Bears Raiders game this weekend. I know it's going to be full of Bears fans out there. If you are not a subscriber, you can either click on the link in the description box, or you can scan the QR code on the screen. If you just want to watch I'm Not Going to Hold You, you can subscribe to the $5 tier for that. But if you want to check out everything we've got on the Barbershed Network Patreon, subscribe to the $10 access tier, man. We got the new 79th and Hallis preview pod up there. Y'all get all the clips early. You get all the behind-the-scenes videos early. And, of course, Summer Sessions will be back on Wednesday. We ain't recorded this in June, bro. So we got a lot to talk about on this week.
I might be on Summer Sessions, guys. Maybe. Man, we'll see.
The floor is yours, brother. We're recording Tuesday. If you want to come on, just let me know. So me, Bang, Pavi, and Merc, we'll be doing that, man. So that's all we got for y'all today. A lot of great sports on this weekend. Hope y'all enjoy. We up out of here.